Hello, this is Spurious, and you're about to hear a story that I wrote several years ago. It's something that I've had in mind to contribute on the audio side of Literotica for some time, just never got around to doing it. There's no excuses for that. I just am the world's biggest procrastinator. But I've decided to do it now to resurrect the Reverend, if you'll excuse the pun, from the archives. And the reason I'm doing that is essentially just to get an idea of whether or not this is worth pursuing. I'd like to contribute more on the audio side of things. I don't want to do that if I can't do it. So once you've heard this story, if you could just take the time to vote or to ideally give me some feedback on how I'm doing, what I'm doing right or wrong, or you know, what you enjoyed, that would be really cool. And with that feedback, I can go away and refine things a little bit for the future. So I'll shut up now. This is The Reverend, Part 1. 7:30 a.m. His alarm clock caused his eyes to open suddenly, and at once he was consumed with her. Tonight was the night. Derek had spent the last 19 years faithfully serving his parish. Now 42 years old and in peak health with a moderately athletic body and a full head of dusty brown hair, he'd witnessed his congregation swell under his leadership, thanks largely to the community initiatives he'd pioneered. In fact, he'd become something of a local celebrity and held a soft spot in the heart of many of the villagers. It hadn't been an easy start, and he was considered a radical at first, the big hot-shot reverend and his wife coming from the city to revolutionize the dwindling dozen or so elderly folk who were rigidly committed to their familiar customs and traditions. Yet, as the weeks turned into months, no one could fault Derek's commitment to his locality and the enthusiasm of his faith. The delicate way he balanced the execution of new projects to bring the church to life, while respectfully adhering to the attachments of the pre-existing parishioners, left none in any doubt to his passion for the job and the area. And for Derek, the village represented security. Security from the temptations of the big city where, as a young married man, he found his eye wandering. Sins were abundant on all corners and he felt vulnerable and unable to properly focus on serving his Lord. The move to the countryside took him out of the enemy's firing line and able to reach out into a more receptive, less sinful community. Or, at least, that was the plan. 3.5 months ago, the Richards moved into town. It didn't take long for rumours of fresh residents to circulate the small population, and Derek liked to pop in on anybody new, partly because he liked to introduce himself and extend an invitation to the Sunday morning service, but mainly because Derek's a people person, interested in who people are and why they tick. He particularly liked enigmas, ambiguous people who he couldn't figure out quickly in the way he'd become adept at doing. When he knocked on the door of the Richards that autumn evening, Derek was going to get his money's worth. A rush of warm air escaped from the home as the front door opened, and Derek neglected to keep his mouth shut as he absent-mindedly took in the sight. Standing before him was a lady. He'd guess in her early 30s, tall and with long dark hair. Her skin looked smooth and he felt as if her eyes penetrated his soul upon sight of him. She was wearing a snug white bathroom robe which fell to about halfway down her tanned legs, and which she pulled across her swollen chest, protecting her dignity. "You must be the village priest," she whispered alluringly. He nodded, affirming her suspicions with a smile. "I thought I'd come by and say hello, but if I've caught you at a bad time..." She told him not to be silly and to come in and make himself at home in the living room. As he waited for her to get changed, he took a discreet look around the lounge. The place had been lavishly refurbished before the new owners moved in. Thick shag-pile carpets, expensive artwork adorning the walls, and meticulously polished furnishings chosen with exquisite taste. The framed photography dotted about the place told of a happy, well-travelled marriage, though oddly, none of the pictures looked recent. It was usually older folks who were attracted to the village, typically those setting into retirement, There were a few couples only slightly older than Derek, but it was surprising to meet somebody as young as Clarissa. He'd been too distracted to hear her come in. I'm sorry, I should have introduced myself at the door. No worries. I'm Clarissa. It's a pleasure. He turned around and she lifted her hand to him. He noticed she hadn't dressed. Still in her thick robe, she watched him unable to stop running his eyes quickly up her body and gave him a cheeky grin as he shook her hand. He picked up her scent and realized she must have applied cologne. He wondered why she hadn't popped on some clothes. He declined her offer of a drink, and she gestured towards the couch. As she reclined in the opposite chair, he noticed her gown fall ever so slightly, revealing her long-toned lower thighs. She must have noticed him blush. I'm sorry, I wasn't expecting anyone to visit tonight, though when I heard the knock, I knew it must have been you. The neighbours mentioned you'd probably come round. Clarissa introduced herself as a homemaker, caring for the lavish home which belonged to her and her husband, who these days spent more time away on business than he did with her. She told Derek she was happy with the scenario because it allowed her space to enjoy her interests. Derek sat enthralled. In a religious culture that had established women firmly as second in God's hierarchy, it was very unusual to encounter a lady so centered and self-assured. And if he was being perfectly honest, it took Derek out of his comfort zone, and he soon made his excuses and left, inviting Clarissa and husband to the Sunday service on his way out. As he drove his way home, he tried to shake the tainted thoughts from his head. After all, he was a happily married man. Derek met his wife Susan at a church mission he was involved in when he was 20 years old. He'd been visiting a new town and fallen in love with her on sight. He was drawn to her fragility and felt compelled to provide her with security and a safe environment protected against the evils of the world. Under his protection, he anticipated her growing into a confident, bold woman of God, but she had remained timid, sooner hiding behind him than stepping out into her own identity. He felt sure that this was God's woman for him, and dismissed any dissatisfaction with his marriage as a foothold for the devil. As far as anyone knew, he and Susan were an archetypal minister and wife. Their reputation as compassionate pastoral caregivers were far-reaching. They were easily the most trusted people in the village. Susan had declared her celibacy, without consultation of her husband, 3 years previously. She'd done it, so she said, because she felt she could live a holier life, more pleasing to God, and in so doing, she had taken from him his own sex life, since he was as committed as she, that till death do they part. The following Sunday, Derek was hoping the newcomers wouldn't visit. He'd spent 19 years growing accustomed to an utter lack of impure thoughts of any kind and didn't want to be further concerned about the imperfections of his marriage. His hope did not last long. From his peripheral vision, he spotted her, dressed in a one-piece mustard-coloured dress that stretched tightly over her firm rear. Her top complemented the style, her breasts practically pouring over and beyond the limited fabric that struggled to contain them. She wore a matching hat and high-heeled stilettos, and much to Derek's relief, she brought an accessory. Attached tightly to her arm was her husband. Derek felt sure that the heat of the situation had been entirely internal, and that it was he who was at fault for allowing himself to appreciate the boldness of another woman, another married woman, whose casual inhibition he'd surely misinterpreted. The man shook Derek firmly by the hand and introduced himself as Colin. His handshake was formal and cold, as if attempting to exert an authority. His wide stride hardly broke as he passed Derek and took him straight inside the church, leaving Clarissa behind. Derek winced inwardly at Colin's urban traits. "So lovely to see you again, Reverend." Derek found Clarissa's voice soothing. He made sure to welcome her in the same way as everyone else, taking care not to be over-familiar, more for his own sake than hers. After all, he was sure she was oblivious to his discomfort and latent desires. Being the final attendee to enter, he gestured her inside. "Have fun in there," she grinned, and patted his bottom as she passed by him. He froze on the spot as she opened the door, glancing over her shoulder and winking. The door shut behind her, and he composed himself. "Some people are just like that," he reasoned. A friendly pat on the bottom, albeit inappropriate, was no cause to presume anything further. He shouldn't let his growing sinful desire for this woman affect his ability to rationalize accurately about the situation. Inside, he climbed the pulpit and looked out over the congregation, now over 100 strong. His wife smiled meekly back at him as he led the congregation in prayer. As the flock bowed their head, he looked out over them, as usual, seeking inspiration for the right words to say. As he did so, he saw all heads bowed but one. Carissa. She was looking up at him with a glint in her eye. How did she manage to look just so damn beautiful? She locked him firmly in her eyeline and put her hands on her lap. Glancing to make sure her husband next to her was bowed in prayer, she looked directly up at him and pushed up her skirt. She pouted her lips at him and parted her legs, not long enough for anyone to notice, but enough to show Derek a flash of some very expensive, frilly-looking panties. Had she somehow worked out the chink in his spiritual armor? Had she no respect for his marriage, for her own? Derek started stammering out the clumsy beginning of an incoherent communication with the Almighty, and as quick as a flash, she closed her legs and bowed her head. Afterwards, he grabbed Susan and went straight home for two reasons. Firstly, he wanted to escape the danger of encountering Carissa after his service. And more embarrassingly, he had an enormous erection, and he needed to deal with it. The cold shower water was his attempt to cool off, to remove the heat of the situation, and from there think carefully about how to deal with Carissa, whose behavior he felt he should definitely address. But as the water splashed over onto his taut frame, running down his smooth skin and bouncing off his still hard cock, he could only picture Carissa when he closed his eyes. He grabbed himself with his right hand and started to glide it slowly up and down. In his mind, he was back at the pulpit. Everyone else was locked, with their heads bowed, unable to do anything but continued in focused prayer. He and Carissa are the only ones able to move. In one fluid moment, he tugs at his priestly robes and they fall to the ground, leaving him naked, his body smooth, exposed for all to see, if only they could. He slowly walks down the steps to the pulpit and towards Carissa. He picks her up in his arms and carries her towards the altar. With his left arm, he pushes everything off the altar. Candles, religious ornaments, and crucifixes fly off and crash loudly onto the stone floor. He rips at Carissa's clothes and they come off with ease. She grins again as she spreads her legs wide, her femininity in direct view of the entire congregation, still steeped in prayer. Her sighs echo around the grand roof of the church as he buries his head between her legs, and he feels like Moses as his tongue parts her labia and enters her. Only his cane looked a little different. His blasphemous wanderings made him giggle, and as he exploded onto the shower wall, he felt utterly overwhelmed and consumed with lust. Now it was his head that was bowed. In shame and remorse for allowing his frustration to become manifest in this sinful way. This could not continue. When he woke up the next day, he felt a changed man, his spiritual armor impenetrable to attack, his desires safely caged in the biblical promises of God, never to tempt him with more than he could handle. If this was a spiritual test of some kind, God would not put him in an overwhelming situation without a means to deal with it. He felt so strong, he decided to pay Carissa a visit during the day when Colin would be at work. He knocked determinedly on the door, and she answered, looking pleasantly surprised and a little ill at ease with how purposeful his facial expression must have been. She let him in, and he made his way up to the living room and asked her to sit down. She was dressed in a tight pair of jeans and a low-cut top, the kind of casual outfit that only the perpetually glamorous would wear, he thought. I'd like you to tell me what yesterday was about. His aim was to assert control and require her to explain herself. I'm not sure I know what you're talking about. Her smile betrayed her. I am a man of God. I care for a church, and I won't tolerate sinful behavior in the Lord's sanctuary. How about in my sanctuary, then? I saw the way you looked at me, Derek. Her voice was becoming softer, and I saw that strain in your robe after the service. You know, just before you disappeared. No doubt to run home and jerk yourself off, thinking about me. She got up and walked towards his chair. Stop it, he protested. You will stop talking that way. You're married. I'm married. And this is wrong. What's wrong, Derek? We haven't done anything. Yet. She knelt in front of him and pushed apart his knees. His casual slacks weren't loose enough to hide the growing length. Breathing heavily, she moved her head towards his crotch, all the while maintaining eye contact. He put his hand on her shoulder and pushed lightly, but it was a weak-willed effort, and his God-endowed spiritual strength was powerless to his more human endowment. Without warning, she pushed her head right into his lap, and from beneath his trousers she gripped his penis with her teeth and growled. He pushed her back and stood up. Why are you doing this? He shouted at her. She got up, her 5'8" frame matching his, and pushed him back down into the chair. She stretched her legs across it and straddled the arms, placing her waist inches from his chest. Softly, seductively, she told him, I noticed how nervous you were around me, Derek, when you first came to visit me. I saw you looking at my body. Do you like my body, Derek? He sat silently. My husband is a very powerful man. He's influential. He has a staff in 3 figures and a salary you'd expect of a man of such responsibility. He's also a bastard. He keeps me because he likes to have something pretty on his arm at work functions. I keep him because of his wallet. But he doesn't satisfy me, Derek. What's that got to do with me? I told you I'm a man of God. She put her finger to his mouth, gesturing for him to be quiet. I find myself drawn to pure men. It's in my nature to corrupt, to defile. It's wrong, isn't it, Father? He nodded, his eyes pleading with her to stop, his dick pleading to be inside her. She leant in closely, putting her mouth to his ear, whispering slowly and gently, It's a violation of the principles God has laid down in Scripture. Imagine if we were to fuck. Can you imagine that, Derek? Find a time, find a space, and just fuck. Raw, primal, animalistic evil. She ran her tongue down his ear and circled his earlobe. Her tone was becoming excitable. With a growl, he threw her off him and onto the couch opposite. So, this is your idea of a noble life, is it, Carissa? Moving into a new village and trying to corrupt people? She laughed playfully and crawled toward him. Not people. Just you. Rules are there to be broken, Derek. Do you ever, in your heart of hearts, have as much fun thinking about Sunday's sermon as you do thinking about what it would be like inside me? Come on, wouldn't that be fun? I'm so wet right now. Put your hand down there and feel me. By now she had reached his chair and climbed up onto it on top of him. We could do it, you and I. Right here, right now. No one need know. Pin me down, Father, ravage me. She was almost rabid with desire, her eyes darting wildly at his left and right, her hands roaming her body almost involuntarily. She pushed her lips down onto his and her tongue into the wetness of his mouth. Powerless to resist, he reciprocated, his hands clutching at her brows as if to tear it from her body. She moaned in pleasure and grabbed his cock. The suddenness woke him from his lustful coma, and he leant back, breaking the passion in which their tongues were entwined. Momentarily she looked puzzled, but quickly regained her momentum. You want to show her? Sit back, man of God. Be tempted. With that, she reached over and switched on the music. Expensive speakers from all corners of the room started to pound with low, sensual beats. Derek sat transfixed. Everything in his spirit wanted him to leave this woman, to tell her she was no longer welcome at his church, and go back to his diligent, faithful wife at home. Everything in his body wanted to become one with her. Trapped between those two wills, neither of which strong enough to take control of his actions, he sat helplessly before the temptress as her show began. She danced just a couple of feet away from Derek, and not once did she break eye contact with him as she started to undress. Simultaneously, she hooked both hands underneath the straps of her top and brought them down to reveal she was wearing no bra. Her small nipples were erect and hard, demanding to be nibbled and sucked, and her breasts seemed to swell in desire for him. She ran her hands over them, tweaking the nipples as she let go. The little sighs of yelp of pleasure escaped from her lips. "You can touch yourself, you know. It's okay." Like a man possessed, Derek felt himself gripping his now throbbing cock through his slacks, pressing hard at the head and causing it to grow harder than he can remember it feeling for years. Carissa smiled. She seemed to know she was in complete control. She wiggled out of her jeans, bending over as she did, and kicked them to the side of the room. She was now naked before him, but for a pair of sheer black panties through which Derek could see. She slid her hands inside and moaned. "Fuck, that's so good. Don't you wish this was your hand?" It was as much as Derek could do to stop himself drooling, let alone answer coherently. Besides which, his dick was doing all the talking necessarily, straining at his trousers. She moved over to him, gyrating herself inches from his mouth. He could see how wet she was, her body telling him how much she desired to be taken. But she wasn't done teasing him yet. Her hands again roamed his body. Running her fingers through his hair, she reached the back of his neck and found his necklace. She ripped it from him, knowing what she'd find on the end of it. She giggled as she saw how trapped he was, utterly enchanted by her, yet somehow, somewhere in him was a spirituality fiercely fighting her evilness. She put the crucifix up to her mouth and sucked the long end of it. "I'm a naughty girl, aren't I, Father? Do you think God will forgive me?" She pushed her panties down her legs and they fell silently to the floor. Sitting on the couch in his direct view, she spread her legs wide and while maintaining an intense eye contact with him, she took the crucifix from her mouth and put it inside her. "Do you think he'll forgive me now?" His answer wasn't important. By now she was as much lost to this situation as he was. Her rhythm became faster as her other hand started running over her breasts and down to her clitoris. Derek continued gripping at his pounding cock, pressing firmly as it throbbed. His own pants became wet with pre-cum as she sat open-mouthed at the spectacle before her. And he sat open-mouthed at the spectacle before him. Carissa was unstoppable now, faster and faster as she pushed Derek's crucifix in and out of her sopping pussy until waves of pleasure flushed over her and she fell backwards onto the couch, for the first time closing her eyes and letting the sensations take over. She held the crucifix in her hand, the end of it creamy with her desire. After a couple of minutes, she spoke. "How is that, Father? Has that changed your perspective on our situation at all? Judging by the tent in your trousers, things don't look too priestly from here." She put the crucifix in her mouth once more, sucking the orgasm from it. She walked over to him and hooked the necklace back around his neck. "I think you might be needing this." Derek was lost for words. he knew of none that could do justice to his shame or his desire. He got up to leave, his face red and his sorrowful eyes still unable to leave the fabulous body before him. From somewhere within him, he felt compelled to say something, anything. Carissa. His voice faded as he realized he had started a sentence he had no idea how to finish. Shh, she mothered him. I know this is a lot to take in, and I've hardly even begun with you yet. Wednesday is the night of your widely acclaimed midweek Bible study, right? Well, Colin's away on business all week, and I get a little lonely by myself, so I'm intending on coming along. And we are going to take this to the next level. She gave him a lingering kiss on his cheek as he stood by her front door. Shielding her nakedness from the outside world, she opened it so that only he would be seen. Still unable to express himself properly, he slumped his head and walked towards his car. However he felt this might have gone, he could not have predicted what had just happened. That night, Derek couldn't sleep. Since his return from Carissa's, he'd been insular and needing his own space. His faith was strong, but he knew from his youth, right from his experiences of the city, that he fared much better whenever he avoided temptation. He tried to pray, to seek God's counsel and guidance, to seek God's forgiveness, but he was unable to focus. As his mind wandered to what had happened just the day before, God seemed a million miles away as his cock once again started to twitch, and he felt that familiar sense of lust and desire start to take over. Derek lost count of the number of times he pleasured himself in the short space since it happened. He vividly remembered her eyes, the way she seemed to stare right into his soul, her body so firm, so toned, so worthy of his worship. Should he cancel tomorrow night's study? Should he make alternative commitments? What had Carissa got planned? Didn't she realize this was his home, that his wife would be there? Could he behave rationally around them both? Would his guilt be evident? Would other feelings transcend his sensibilities? Derek was anxious, but he stopped himself from cancelling the meeting. And as Tuesday became Wednesday, the feeling more prominent than any other was a sense of almost youthful excitement, a feeling of flirting with danger. He knew he could potentially put his position, his reputation, and his marriage at risk, and that was the buzz. He slipped into a deep sleep and dreamt of only one thing before he woke. 7:30 a.m. His alarm clock caused his eyes to open suddenly, and at once he was consumed with her. Tonight was the night.